Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you, and as we do on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, Mitch Light from The Athletic is here to discuss college football. Now, Mitch, last week I did ask you if Vanderbilt could beat Virginia Tech or at least make the game competitive. I think you outright said no. Do you have egg on your face right now?
Hey, we need to go to the videotape. I don't think I said outright. Because while you were introducing me, I was wondering if I should take credit for claiming that they could beat them. But I don't remember exactly what I said.
We will go back to the tape. Yeah. to the tape. Either way, I think
feel it was more on the fence.
Okay, I was going to say.
It was leaning either way.
I was going to say, either way, you were skeptical.
Hey, Mitch, don't let him do it to you, man.
You were
hold strong.
I know. Who's this new guy? We'll
review the tape. Hey, Mitch used to be my for a period of time. Mitch was my boss, so Mitch knows that I'm. Mitch knows I'm on the level. But either way, Vanderbilt defeats Virginia Tech 34-27 in overtime. Diego Pavia was a revelation. A big win for Vanderbilt at home to open the season. What was the most eye-opening aspect of that win from Vanderbilt for you?
I think the lack of flukiness. You know, if we would have talked last week and say, okay, Vanderbilt's going to get out of there with a win, you'd say, okay, you know, the ball bounced their way, pick six, special teams touchdown. And I know you can say that Vanderbilt fumbled three times and, you know, they recovered them all over the course of the season. That's going to come back to bite you. They got a deflected pass for a, you know, interception, and Virginia Tech had that penalty where they had two number zeros on the field or whatever, and Vanderbilt got the extra 5 yards and kicked the field goal. So sure, some things did go Vanderbilt's way. But I think the fact that Vanderbilt, I wouldn't say owned the line of scrimmage, but looked equal to Virginia Tech on the line of scrimmage, the way Vanderbilt ran the ball and slowed down Virginia Tech's running game, which is very good. Not just a running quarterback, but their running back, very big physical guy too. So I think it wasn't just the win, Adam. It was the way they won the game. And then I think you can say, you know, would Vanderbilt have rather have made that field goal and walked it off? Sure. But I think Clark Lee as a coach would tell you, hey, he loved the way they bounced back from adversity and won in overtime and all that. So just a solid all-around victory. But again, just the method in which they got it done.
There are some prominent programs that are in deep doo-doo, to say the least. Florida State, of course, 0-2 to start the season. Florida crushed at home by Miami. But I'm going to ask you the question that's currently the lead headline on ESPN.com. What's the matter with Clemson?
How much time do we have? It is a complicated – you know, the easy answer is – and everyone's getting at Dabo is, you know, his refusal to go into the transfer portal and plug holes in his roster and having faith in his recruits. You know, he talks about he's got transfers. They're 25 freshmen every year. They're transferring from high school into the program. I mean, he's full of those corny sayings. It's a little bit of everything. It is, you know, would they have beaten Clemson if they had three or four transfers plugging holes? No. Beating Georgia? No, they wouldn't have. But they would have been more competitive, and it would help them in their quest for the ACC title. They have not been nearly as good at the quarterback position as they were, obviously, with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Cade Klubnik was a former five-star, has not developed yet. He might still develop. They are not nearly as good at the wide receiver position. For all of their, you know, acclaim with those great quarterbacks, they had a bunch of stud wide receivers. Now, they're two top 50 freshman wide receivers. Neither of those guys really played until the end of the game. I don't know if they weren't ready or Dabo not willing to play his young guys. So, Adam, it's kind of a cop-out answer, but it's a little bit of everything. They're just not as good as they were. Are they still a top 15 program? Sure, but they're not nearly a top 5 program.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic discussing college football. A slew of games this past weekend. We got even more coming up this weekend. Now, obviously, you know, Florida, you know, Billy Napier was on a hot seat prior to the season. We all knew that. And then you play Miami and you just get mollywopped by them. Will he be the first coach fired this season? And how many games into this season do you think it happens?
My guess is yes, he will be. And if we, speaking of going to the videotape, and I used to laugh with Chase about this. Chase always asks about like coaches getting fired, and I'm always like, no way, he'll be fine, he'll be fine. I'm always wrong about that, so I'm taking the other approach now, just saying, yeah, the guy's going to get canned. But you know, it was just the method of the game. You look back and how uncompetitive they were, and just the kind of the swagger that Miami played with, and just the lack of swagger that Florida played with. They just did not look, from a talent standpoint, like they were close. You know, Florida's schedule, we've talked about it, it's just brutal. It's absolutely brutal. So it's just, do I think it's going to happen during the season? My guess is yes. A lot, I think, will happen, will be dictated what happens to the quarterback position. DJ Lagway, the true freshman, five-star signee, you know, he played a little bit. Will they go to him? And if he does look good, does that buy Billy Napier some more time? You know, if I'm evaluating and I'm the AD and I'm the, you know, a lot of it's too, the transition of the school as an interim president, I just want to see a product that looks better. Like, there's different kinds of, if they're 3-4 after seven games, but they're battling and they look like they're improving and Lagway's good, that's one thing. If they look uncompetitive like they have, like they did this last week, that's another thing. So I think we just have to see what transpires.
Before I pass it to Willie here, and I told Willie I only had one, but quickly, doesn't that add insult to injury after the game? The Miami players are going on the sideline and telling recruits that are there for the Florida game, y'all need to come to Miami. Y'all don't need to go to Florida.
It doesn't help. And, you know, I mean, a lot was made of that, and rightfully so. A lot of it, too, was just like the recruits are kind of right by the tunnel, right, when you're walking out there. So, and they, you know, these Miami, I think they were talking to some South Florida kids. It wasn't like they were just walking up to people they didn't know and being like, hey, you need to come to Miami, don't go to Florida. I think they were talking to other guys they knew and stuff like that. So that's a logistics problem from Florida that I'm guessing they're going to address. It won't happen again. But, yeah, from a Florida standpoint, I think everything about that game was insulting.
Well, speaking of the insulting, as we talked to Mitch Light here, the Billy Napier clip, like I do think sometimes there is a tipping point, and the clip about the fan base, you know, it usually doesn't really matter what it is. If it's a stinging shot at the fans, a lot of times you just don't recover from that. But what I'd like to point out as a person who lived in Central Florida
were you offended?
All my teen years, almost nobody I knew had a basement. Like, that's just not how they roll in Central Florida. So he just is out of touch with the fans, I think.
I think, what if he got fired because that's the only reason? It's like, you know, we think Billy's making great progress, but he clearly does not understand the houses in the air, you know, in the area.
The architecture.
Yeah, how's he supposed to go into a home and recruit? He's going to ask to go into a recruit's basement when there isn't a basement. So
yeah,
one thing about that clip, though, when it was making the rounds was, you know, he did say right after, it's my fault, he owned up and all that stuff. But you're right. You are never going to win that game when you start challenging the fans.
Mitch, I watched the Connor Stallions documentary, and I don't know what we really got out of that. If you want to weigh in on that, feel free. But one thing that was noticeable over the weekend is now that whole game of, hey, you know, here's how coaches steal signs, and they exchange information, and they do this, and they got these methods, and now is that pretty much all out the window now with the communication system? That does seem like a big game changer now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I saw any. You know, we wrote a lot about that in the off season. I think some schools said they still will have some signals, and you have to be prepared with stuff because if the communication goes down, you know, which we've seen, if it's down for one side, they both have to go. Neither school can use it, so you need some backup plans there. But I do think, yeah, obviously, will be curtailed a lot. Real quick, I don't know if you guys want to get a laugh. I think Warren Sharp might have retweeted this. Jay Norvell, not Mike Norvell, Jay Norvell, the Colorado State coach, had a guy on the sidelines following him, holding, you know, they hold those big banners in front of this so people can't see what's going on the sideline, holding it in front of Jay Norvell while he's mouthing the plays to the quarterback. And as Warren Sharp wrote, he's down like 48-0. He's worried about, you know, someone reading his lips. It just kind of tells you sometimes how coaches take themselves a little bit too seriously.
So Mitch, I think a lot of people were watching the marquee games. And I think the one, if I had to choose one, that most impressed me was the way Notre Dame went down to Texas A&M and really made the key plays at the key time to win in a really hostile atmosphere. And now the talk seems to be, that might be the toughest atmosphere they play in the regular season. So I have, you know, Notre Dame seems to be in the conversation here.
Oh, yeah, everyone's putting them in the playoff right now already. And, you know, obviously a huge win going down to College Station. I think everything we thought about that game was kind of wrong. You know, the Texas A&M would feast on that young offensive line. And they had their problems early. To me, you know, full credit to Notre Dame, but almost the story of that game was the lack of offense, too, for lack of playmakers at wide receiver from Texas A&M. And Connor Wegman, a former five-star quarterback, did not throw the ball that well there. So, yeah, I mean, that was a huge early season test for Notre Dame, and the fact that they won the game, it's a great sign. It's flipping through, you know, look at their schedule. Florida State at home before the season was one of their most difficult games. Doesn't look so tough now. But at USC to close the season, we weren't thinking it was going to be that tough.
Yeah.
You know, Notre Dame could have a playoff spot wrapped up by then. They could be 11-0 and 11-0 and lose that game to USC and still make it easily.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the ACC champions record ends up being to get that automatic bid. That's something to track throughout the season. One more for Mitch. You mentioned for me, Mitch, and then Adam's got one for you. But you mentioned Wegman, the quarterback for Texas A&M. He was anything but impressive, and I'm sure a lot of people here in Nashville are wondering: is Marcel Reed on the cusp of maybe getting a shot at some point here? Because you know he's a guy that turned a lot of heads, of course, when he was playing for MBA here, and he's already, you know, decommitted from one place to go to Texas A&M. You got to wait your turn. That whole quarterback carousel, I wonder what's next for him.
Yeah, I'm looking, as you're talking, I was trying to look up the site I went to slow. I don't know if Marcel is even the number two quarterback at Texas A&M. I don't think he was in the preseason. I don't think he's close. I mean, Wegman is a guy that they believe in. He played some last year before he got hurt. Like I said, a former five-star. Clearly did not look great against Notre Dame, but that's a very difficult defense. I would be surprised if Texas A&M made any kind of change at quarterback in the near future. The interesting thing is he's got his flaws, but Haynes King, the starting quarterback at Georgia Tech, who's played really well last year and is off to a good start this year, was a starter at Texas A&M as a redshirt freshman, then got hurt and transferred there. So it'd be interesting to kind of monitor those two guys if King has a better year than Wegman.
Mitch, last one for you. If I'm not mistaken, there are two games this week with two teams, you know, being ranked against each other. That's a very weird way of me saying Texas is playing Michigan.
You need an editor.
Yes, I do need an editor. Do you know a good one? Texas is at Michigan, number three versus number 10. But of course, locally, we have number 14, Tennessee. It's at number 24, NC State, but it is a neutral site game in Charlotte, North Carolina. Should the Volunteers be on upset watch against the Wolfpack?
My first answer is no, but when you think about our overreactions in first week, two of the big overreactions were, wow, Tennessee's incredible, Nico better than advertised, and the other one was NC State, dark horse ACC champion pick, was losing in the second half to Western Carolina. So, like, if college football is, like, acts normal, which means nothing makes sense, then NC State's going to win this game, if you know what I mean, because of our wild overreactions. But just looking at the surface, there's a reason Tennessee's favorite. I expect them to win this game comfortably. Did not like what I saw from NC State. Watched a decent amount of that game. It was, you know, they scored with, I think, 2 minutes to go to make it 38-21. So even though it was still just a 10-point game in the fourth quarter, now they've got some really good playmakers. Kevin Concepcion was the ACC Offensive Freshman of the Year. He's very good. Jordan Waters, running back transfer from Duke, is good. You know, everyone knows Grayson McCall, the former Coastal Carolina quarterback. So they've got some playmakers on offense. But I was concerned, just did not like what I saw from NC State. So, you know, like you said, a neutral game, but I'm sure there'll be a ton of Tennessee fans there. My guess, probably even more Tennessee fans, so I expect them to win.
I will go back and review the tape, and if I misrepresented your comments on Vanderbilt last week, I will issue a formal apology.
I look forward to that, Adam. Thank you very much.
I you know me, I never want to misquote anybody. Mitch Light from The Athletic.
No, definitely not. Definitely. I mean, the answer is I don't think they're going to win, and sure, they can make it more competitive. If they're just a middle of the pack team and Vanderbilt plays well, protects the ball, sure, that gives them a chance to win the game.
There we go, Mitch.
Thank Bam. You. Bam. What astute analysis right there. If they protect the ball. I mean, you should have that guy in weekly.
Tape don't lie.
I agree.
All right, we've got the tape. Mitch, thank you for joining us as always.
All right, take care, guys.
Yep.
No, okay. He said, I don't think. He said, I don't think. Okay, I'll give him credit for that versus outright saying no. Nick Frazier with the detective work there to pull up the tape. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, how optimistic are Titans fans about their team season relative to how other teams' fans around the league are about their teams? We'll get to that next. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 1025-1063, the game.